Good morning. This morning, we continue our journey with Joseph. We are talking about a fellow that God is with from the start all the way through the end. And this story that goes from Genesis 37 all the way to 50, it is an amazing story of God's hand upon an individual's life, from dream to dream being realized. And in that time, there is this shaping of the dream and there's the shaping of the dreamer. And today what we do is I want to focus on the testing of Joseph. Now, throughout this time, if you look at the time where Joseph received his dreams to those being realized is 22 years. Now, before I go on, I want to ask you, who's done your homework? Who's read Genesis 37 to 50? All right, good. I want to encourage you to do your homework, and I want to encourage those that have been texting in to say, thank you for asking me to do your homework. And I had someone, I can't mention their name, they asked, please don't. I was going to ask them and come share a testimony. I'm glad they said no today because there's no time. But what they messaged me on Friday morning, I get this message, PJ, thank you for asking me to do my homework. If for the first time I saw a nugget that just jumped off. And it was this in 37 where Joseph goes to his brothers and he speaks about the dream of the stars and the sun and the moon. And his brothers were referenced as the stars and they were angry at Joseph. But they missed the point that his brother called them that they would be stars. And this person was just so excited to share this with me, and I want to encourage you that as we go through these series, don't just wait for Sunday. Do the homework, do the preparation, and see how the Spirit just lifts the words off the page for you. So do it. I want to see more hands the next time we're up over here. But this piece goes from 37 to 50, and throughout there are these tests that Joseph goes through. And we speak about the testing. But I struggled with this word test because I don't believe that that's necessarily the character of God, that he goes out and he puts these tests out for you. And it's almost, you know, you have to prove yourself by going through a test. And that's definitely not the word that I'm trying to convey here today, that God's gonna test you in the sense that you have to prepare and write an exam in how you live your life. But while we cover 37 to 50, I actually want to start off in Psalm 105, verses 18 to 19. And we will pick up over here. All right. So it's going to go from 14 all the way through 20. I'll pick it up over here. Yes, yeah. So if we go to, let's pick up from 16. So he called down a famine on the land and destroyed all the supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. And it's that word, prove him true. You can read some versions of that and it speaks about the testing, but it's really that word proved, tested. And the Hebrew word that is in context over there is tzaraf. It's a tzaraf. I don't know much Hebrew, but that's the word over there, tzaraf. And when you look at the meaning of the word tzaraf, can you say tzaraf? Good, because I had to try and practice it this week so I could get it right. Tzaraf. And the word tzaraf actually means to refine, right? To shapen, to purify. And that's the context of the story today that I want to share on, that Joseph goes through this journey and he's been tzarafed, if that's the right way of saying it. He's been purified. He's been purified, he's been refined, he's been pressed, and in that, he's been shaped. So a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about the dreamer being shaped, And Joseph is being saraft, he's been shaped, he's been refined through these passages from 37 to 50. Right. But one of the things I have to share this morning before we move on to this man being saraft is Joseph was special. Joseph was set apart. His father had many sons, but at that stage, Joseph was the precious one, the younger one. And he was given this coat. And I mentioned it the other day when we started the series. I said, I don't know how happy I'd be if my dad gave me a multicolored coat. It's just not really fashionable today to wear something like it, that garment. And it sat with me. And between then and now, I've really focused on the, Pete, you're missing the point. You're missing the point over here. That and in this week, in this preparation, I really want to declare something over each of you this morning, that each and every one of you have to see yourself in Joseph. Each and every one of you has to see yourself as the special one. Each and every one of you has to see yourself wearing that garment. Each and every one of you has to see yourself in amongst brothers that may despise you, sisters that may despise you because you are anointed and because you're set apart. And that's not set aside for few, but those that is set aside for those that have made Jesus their Lord and Savior. And just over here in Isaiah 61, verses 10, this one over here, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And in Galatians 3:27, it speaks of those who've been baptized are clothed in Jesus. Meaning that when God sees you, he doesn't necessarily see your sin and the ways, the sin nature, but he sees you with this cloak of Jesus, that there's no difference because that sin's been paid for. You need to understand how precious you are, right? You need to have that realization in your heart that this isn't set aside for a few, but it's set aside for each and every one of you, that you are precious and you too have been given a robe that you are covered and you can wear proudly, and you don't have to apologize for it purely because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And I want to speak against anyone, I want to speak against anybody who has assumed the identity that they are not worthy, that they are not the precious one, that they are not the Joseph in their story, because you are, and you should wear that robe proudly. So we start over there in this individual who's had this, Joseph, who's had these dreams. And between these dreams to the dream being realized, go and do your homework and you can read the ending, otherwise wait a few more weeks. There is this time of proving. There's this time of purifying. There's this time of refining. And I want you to think, Addy or Larry, you can move on to the next one of the year. I've got this picture of just the smelting pot. Next one, the smelting pot. And I want you to understand that high temperatures are the ones that refine the gold and the silver. And it burns. And it's not necessarily fun, but there's purpose in it. That precious metal that you pay so much for, that's the gold standard that underpins most economies, is done because there's a refined purpose in it. And throughout our life, it's great that I can start you up and say you are precious, you are set apart, you should wear your robe boldly. Then you say, PJ, I'm going through some tough times. PJ, I feel as though that life for me is burning right now. I feel right now that life is pressing right now. I feel right now so far away from God that it's painful for me even to think and speak about the precious one I am, because this is not how you treat someone that is precious. And I'm confused and I'm disillusioned with my faith. And I want to say to you that there's purpose in it. And there's four testings, there's four refining processes today that I want to share with you that Joseph had to go through before you could get to Genesis 50 and really fulfill the purpose. And the message that goes throughout this journey is that God was preparing the dream and God was preparing the dreamer. I want you to know, and when we spoke about dreams, the dreams are big dreams. And we spoke about that. And some of you came afterwards to pray and say, PJ, I've got this dream of my heart. And I heard some testimonies from other people over here that were praying with people. And these are big dreams that scare you. And you think that when you get that dream, if you're not hardened in the right way, if you're not refined in the right way, how is it that you can handle what it is that God wants to give you? How is it that God can build something mega? How is in the spiritual context on a foundation that is weak? On a foundation that is not yet cured? On a foundation that has not necessarily been strengthened to hold the weight for the call and the purpose that He has for you? You take Joseph in the very beginning, who went out and almost bragged about his dreams to his loved ones, and it got him into trouble. That kind of attitude wouldn't necessarily have been the right thing when you get to the end of the story. Go and read it. You'll see it. It's beautiful. God was shaping Joseph for a far bigger plan, and He's shaping you. And that's the message that I want to share with you this morning, and we'll speak about it in these four refining processes. So the first one over here, and I love this one, I laughed because you'll see a little dash over there. There's no scriptural reference for this. But before you stone me, it's the test of self-pity. The reason why there's a little dash over there is when you do your homework, I want you to go and circle how many times the word self-pity or grumbling or moaning that Joseph did between 37 and 50, and I promise you won't find one. Joseph went from being his precious father's son to being chucked in a pit. And that pit was deep, right? You can't just climb out that. That was a deep, dark pit. It was muddy. His robe was ruined. Garment was maybe torn. It was taken out. They soaked it and they took it away. He was stripped of his garment, thrown in this pit, waiting for the Ishmaelites that were going to take him off. And he found himself over there. How do you reconcile being the precious one with the one who is now the sitting in a pit? And then afterwards, he gets taken out of the pit, he gets sold into slavery, and he gets shipped off to Egypt, and he finds himself a slave. As a slave, if you read in the Psalms, he had shackles on his ankles, and he had a hard metal collar, like they treat slaves. How does that line up with being the precious one? And then afterwards, he goes and he finds himself in prison. And after he finds himself in prison, he has an opportunity to be released. But the people that he helps get released or gets released, they forget about him and he has to spend another 2 years in prison. And never once throughout this process is Joseph grumbling. Never once is Joseph saying, "Woe is me." What Joseph is doing is you see throughout them, it is spoken in pre-service prayer this morning, is the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And Joseph understood that, and because he understood that, he didn't have to grumble. He didn't have to moan. He had this realization that notwithstanding the season, God was with him. God is with you, no matter your season. And the problem with self-pity is there's a perspective that needs to change. Because in self-pity, what happens is you get to focus on why, the question of why. When your question should be what? What is God doing with me in the season? I trust that God is with me. I know that God's hand is upon me. I know that I am a precious one, which we spoke about early today. What is God doing in the season? My faith tells me that I will not be forsaken. It's a perspective. And the enemy wants you to focus on, oh, why? Why me? Why is God singling me out to put me through these trials when week after week I come to church and I've been told I've been set apart and how precious I am? I don't understand it. The enemy wants you to think that, because when you think that, your focus isn't on God and what He is doing. And when you think that, that starts to spew out the word bitterness. And you know what bitterness does? It starts to harden the heart. Harden the heart to the things that God wants to do with you. Harden yourself. Have you ever tried to? My kids have got Play-Doh, and Play-Doh in our house usually lasts less than 24 hours. Reason being is you make it, it's nice, and then they leave it out, and then it's crusty and it goes into the carpets. Don't be the Play-Doh. Protect it. Be malleable, because when you're hard, you can't work with it. When you're hard, God can't shape you. And if you find yourself in a season where there is self-pity, or a concern of, Lord, why are you singling me out? I want to tell you today, God is not singling you out. He is shaping you. And when you understand that He's shaping you and He's with you, then you embrace the season, no matter whether it's on a mountaintop or in a valley. No matter if it's in a prison or in a palace. No matter when it's you've been celebrated by your father or whether it is you find yourself in a pit. Go and read there. Every single time, the Lord is with Joseph. Circle that and then try to compare that to the amount of times it speaks about Joseph in some way, shape, or form speaking on self-pity. The next one is integrity. Integrity is integral to how we live our lives. As Christians, we need to understand that we can't do the things that God has called us to do. We can't fulfill the promises that God has placed on our life if we lack integrity. And our integrity will be tested. Our integrity is going to, and it doesn't come now. Guys, I'm a very integrous person. That means nothing. When I'm standing behind a computer filling out a application to the government and I have to report on things. Or when I am meeting with someone and someone wants to raise someone else's name. Or I have been questioned. And I want you to go to Genesis 39, 39, and I'm going to pick some pieces out over there. So Genesis 39, Joseph was a strapping fellow. He was strong. Probably had a bit of an olive skin, not like mine. He was a handsome fellow. And Potiphar's wife, who was the captain of the guard, had given Joseph pretty much full reign of his palace. He was a slave that had much trust. He was a slave that had much authority. And Potiphar's wife takes a liking to Joseph. This is a handsome fellow. And she wanted to pursue Joseph and many times made these pursuits towards Joseph. Pick up over here in verses 10 after she's done it. So if you read in verses 8, it says there, but he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. So understand just this level of trust that the slave Joseph has been given. And now, I want to pick up on 11, because this is an important piece of here. Verse 11, one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Notice over there, none of the household servants were there. Understand your integrity in your season will not be tested in public. Understand that your season where you are refined and your integrity is tested and pressed is going to be done in private. It's going to be done when no one can see. It's going to be done when the world can have a perception of who you are. Understand that Potiphar had this view of Joseph, the man who the Lord was with and entrusted him to so much. So he could go. He left and he could do his things knowing that he entrusted much to Joseph. And it's there that his integrity was tested. And he comes back and he says, with me in charge, my master does not concern himself. No one is greater in the house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Integrity, check. Now he can walk out there and he could probably go to Potiphar and say, you know what, while you were away, I was tested. You know, your wife, she came on to me. But I withstood this temptation. And the whole story gets twisted. What do you think happens to Joseph? Do you think he gets rewarded for his integrity? No, he gets chucked into jail. Sometimes your integrity is going to test you, or you're going to be tested, and you won't necessarily get the reward that you're hoping. Sometimes you've got to make decisions in your life, even when they cost. That is the true test and refining. And that's why you understand, refining is painful. Refining involves heat and burning and stirring. You've got to wear these, the refiner, when he's working the metal, has to wear these covers to avoid the heat from consuming him or her. Understand it is painful. And it must be incredibly painful when you make a decision on your integrity and a cost and you get thrown into prison. But Joseph stood true. Joseph went to prison and the Lord was with him. Right? Again, no moaning, no grumbling. But yeah, we sit a man, it would have been very easy to just fall into the traps of a beautiful woman in a palace while everyone is away. And he said, no. Because of what's been given to him by Potiphar and because that would constitute a sin against God. Understand that sin against God is so important because God gives us free will. And that free will can be to do right or to do wrong. When no one else is looking, it's you and God. It's you and God between what it is that you are tempted to do or not. And it's only up to you, the free will that you have, to withstand temptation and say no. And I'm telling you now, as painful as it may be, there is shaping, there is refining, that you can stand the test and be called an integrous man, a man with integrity, a woman with integrity. That is a test. Let's move on to the next one. Faithfulness. Throughout this journey of trials, it's kind of the counter to the bitterness and the standing on the promises of God. Throughout the journey, you're going to read that the Lord was with Joseph. And that requires faith. And it's easy for me to stand in a season where things are good to say, oh man, I got faith in God. God's doing good things. Many miracles are happening in my life. This is amazing. That was Joseph when he received his coat. He was like, oh, Dad is good. I'm receiving all these dreams. Man, life is good. But where is your faith when you find yourself in the pit or the prison? Where is your faith when you did the right thing and you withstood the temptation of Potiphar's wife and you get thrown into jail and you find yourself into jail? And then where is your faith when you've got an opportunity to get out of jail but you've forgotten and you have to sit there for another 2 years? What is faith? Faith is the belief that God is sovereign over every situation. And you understand, there's the proverb in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred leads to a sick heart. And you can understand that. Many of you have gone through seasons in your life that have spanned many, many, many years. Many, many, many years where the end doesn't necessarily seem to be in sight. Where perhaps the enemy has got you to shift your focus where you are asking why and you're not looking at what. God, what are you doing in this season? God, I trust you. God, I see your hand in my life, that you are good, you are sovereign, that no matter the outcome, your hand is upon my life and I trust you. And I want to, there's no necessary reference where God is speaking to Joseph in that time to say, Joseph, I am with you. All the author is saying is, God was with Joseph. And you could see God was with Joseph by its fruit. He went into prison. He was given everything. He's in Potiphar's house. He was given everything. And then he rises up to this grand story in 50. Go and read your homework and you'll see what I'm talking about. Faithfulness in a time where a season is tough is one of the toughest things to possibly do. You need to ask yourself, where is your faith? And it's okay if your faith falters, but that's the beauty of a community that we can do life together and encourage each other. We can come along in this family. We've been gifted by a family, and it's in that family that we are able to be strengthened and be pointed to the truth. I want to tell you today that no matter the prison you may find yourself in, have faith that God is with you, and you will find favor in your season if you submit to God. Joseph submitted to God in every circumstance because of his faith in God and in faith in the promises that were given to him back in Genesis 37. Are you willing or are you able to hold on to the promise that is on your life? This morning, I'd even say to you is, and maybe you need a renewed promise on your life so that it can stir your faith. So your hope isn't deferred, but your hope can be in Jesus, knowing that it'll come and it'll just lead not to a sick heart, but a healthy heart. A heart that can be shaped and a heart that can be prepared for something that God wants to do in season. The last one I want, well, second to last one, close, is boldness to testify. Toby came up here this morning and after Kara had come up and just spoke about boldness in testimony. And there was even a word, I actually think it was back in prayer as well, where they spoke about this boldness to testify. Now, what you've got to understand is in Genesis 41, now all of a sudden, the butler, the cupbearer, was in the palace with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was being troubled by some dreams. And the cupbearer remembered Joseph, and he said, in prison, there was this Hebrew that interpreted my dreams, and they came to pass. And Pharaoh went to call him. And Pharaoh has this dialogue and this exchange with Joseph. And Pharaoh is speaking about this, and I want to pick up in 41, verses 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I want to stop there before we get to 16. Understand that Joseph had this opportunity to get out of jail. Understand that he was in a foreign land. Understand that Pharaoh didn't worship Joseph's God. As a matter of fact, he probably worshipped many other gods. Understand who Pharaoh was. The highest of command in Egypt was Pharaoh. He decided whether you're going to live or die, whether you're going to be free or imprisoned. Here is this exchange between Joseph and Pharaoh. Joseph has a choice. Inside there in 15, but I've heard it said that you, Joseph, that when you, Joseph, hear a dream, you, Joseph, can interpret it. Joseph had a choice to say, yes, I can. Yes, I can, and yes, I will. What does Joseph do? 16, I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answers he desires. Boldness, notwithstanding the outcome of what could happen. He could have said, you worship that God back into prison. You worship that God to death with you. And Joseph stands there boldly and says, no, sir, no, but my God can. My God can. And understand that that's on the back of being in prison plus 2 years. Joseph stands there and says, I don't care the circumstance. My God is the one who interprets dreams. I can't do anything, but my God can. And I want to ask you, in season, no matter the season that you're in, have you got the boldness to testify about the goodness of your God, our God? Are you in a work situation where you're timid and say, well, it's not the time? It's not the time. Or are you prepared to drive down 109th Street in your car with a painted sign that says, Jesus saves, no matter the finger you get, the stink eye you get, or whatever may happen? That is boldness. And we should be encouraged by the youth in our church that we should be doing the same in the places that we find ourselves. Man, I love it. And I'm weak at it. I need to be bold. I need to be strong. And I find an opportunity. Is this the right time? Second guessing myself. And it's like, no. If you believe, then be bold. And trust that God is with you. Not some Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't have command over your life. God does. And when you understand that, that stirs a boldness inside of you that should see you testify and see people come to Jesus. Because that's what he wants to do. Joseph had a choice. And he didn't say, yes, I can. He actually said, no, I can't. And when he said, no, I can't, he pointed to God. He gave glory to God. A humble statement. But man, why else wouldn't you do it when the Lord is with you? And the Lord is with you. You should take that encouragement. You guys with me? Good. Last one. This is the test of prosperity. So now, Joseph has gone through his life. He's found himself in a pit. He's found himself enslaved in shackles. He's found himself in prison plus 2 years. He's been separated from his family. He longs for his family. This man has endured much. And then the reward comes. What God promised 22 years ago when he was 17, there the reward came in Genesis 50. Go read it. It's quite interesting. You see where he is placed, and the dreams that were spoken when he was 17 come to pass. And he has power. Second in command in Egypt, next to Pharaoh. Not because of him. Remember, it's not I. It's because of God that he's there. And with that dream being realized, with that dream being shaped, and God releasing the dreamer into that dream, there comes power, there comes authority, and there comes known prosperity. And you have a choice in how you want to respond. Prosperity can kill people. Prosperity, people sometimes cannot handle prosperity. Simple instance. How many times have you read stories about a person, homeless person or a very poor person winning the lotto? More money you can imagine to do within your lifetime and generations to come. And it's burnt in 7 years, 8 years. People want the dream, but they're not willing to go through the refining to be able to handle that dream. When Joseph was released, he had a choice. His brothers... We're going to pick up here in 50 verses 15 to 21. And understand now that Jacob, the father, has died. And Joseph's brothers now realize, oh man, this guy's got a memory. And he probably remembers what happened when we were gazing the flocks back 22 years ago. Man, this guy is going to have us killed. Do you understand how powerful Joseph is? Joseph had a choice. And that prosperity could have gone to his head and could have made him vindictive and could have made him filled with revenge to say, now's my time. And what does he do? Pick up here in verses 18. This is 50 verses 18. His brothers then came, this is now after Jacob's dead, then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. I'm going to stop at 20 because I don't want to go too far into what the crescendo of the series will be. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. Understand, prosperity could have ruined Joseph, and prosperity can ruin you. With great power comes great responsibility. And what did Joseph do? He didn't have them imprisoned. He didn't have them killed off and their families killed off and ransacked. He embraced them. His heart was soft. His heart was ready for the call that was upon his life. And when you understand the connection between what happened there and how that translates into the rest of the Bible, it is a powerful moment for someone where a dream is being realized. Do not let prosperity break you. Do not let a season where you find yourself on a mountaintop harden your heart because of the prosperity and the fruit that you're getting. Understand that you're only there because of God. And when you understand it is only because of God, then your humility is reduced and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? It's not I, it's God. Understand in the significance of us as Christians, the decision and the declaration that was made in chapter 50 of Genesis plays a pivotal role in where we find ourselves testifying about Jesus today. Joseph could have been inward focused, but he wasn't inward focused when he was going through the trials. He wasn't focusing on why or this is bad. He focused on God. And when it came to the time of opportunity and prosperity, he didn't focus on this is my doing. He said this is God's doing. And through that, there was a grace that flowed. And through that, God's purpose could be fulfilled. And God's purpose, he wants to fulfill his purposes over your life. He wants to see those dreams fulfilled in your life. But they need to be done in season. I want to invite the band up, please. So while they're sitting over there, while they're getting ready, Joseph 17, Genesis 50, 22 years. And you think about it, 22 years, but there's significance to the number 22. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And what is intended in those 22 years is it's the fullness of God's revelation in Joseph's life. And when you look at your life, and we start off this morning where we say we all wear our coats, we all can brag, we can all walk around wearing the coats that we have. And that's great. That's mountaintop kind of stuff. That's the stuff that we can celebrate, and it's easy. But God wants to use you. And God can use you today, and God can use your circumstance today. But trust that there are promises and there are dreams that are written over each of your lives. And unless you go through a process where God doesn't necessarily take pleasure in it, but God uses it to shape you. There's always a saying in economics, never waste a good recession. And I think God says, never waste a bad season. Never waste a bad season where you can be shaped to stir your faith, to stir your heart, to rise up your boldness to testify no matter what Monday looks like. And when that season will end. And my friends, I want to tell you today that the season will end. There will be release. When you're ready, perfectly refined, perfectly cured, on which God can build much, on which God can use much. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I know even if we just look at prayers over here, I know that people are going through seasons. People are going through stuff. You might find yourself in a proverbial prison where you're entrapped by your circumstance, where you feel the iron collar around your neck strangling you. Or it may be where you find yourself in a pit that you can't get out. Or you may be finding yourself where you're tempted, where you're facing temptation every day, a Potiphar's wife pursuing you, pursuing you, pursuing you, and you say, God, I cannot do it on my own. This morning is the opportunity to come and submit to God and change your perspective from not why God, but God, what is it that you're doing? God, what is it that you're doing in season? What is it that you want to do with me? So I'm going to pass it over to Lori and she can close out. Thank you.
I think many of us have felt in the pit in our lives, whether it maybe was this week or in the past. And I think this message just speaks to all of us so clearly. And this is the words of Joseph. Behold, we are your, or this his brothers, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And I just want to repeat those words, but God meant it for good. And many times we think, this is the end. There's no purpose to this. This is killing me. But God meant it for good. And I just want to encourage you with those words. And so if you would like prayer this morning.